Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor John Stanko. As you know, we are planting, we being Allegheny Center Alliance Church, we are planting a church in Homestead. And on November 5th, we had our first service. And so today on Ministry Beat, we're going to be hearing from Pastor Sheldon Williams. And what I am doing right now is what you have to do when your computer freezes, just as you're about to go on the radio. This is all computer web-based, and about 2 minutes, with 2 minutes to go before the show, my computer and my wireless have decided to act out on me. So I am waiting to get it back, the screen back, because that's the only way I can bring on Pastor Sheldon and play our opening jingle, and there's no way I can delay it, so we're just going to have to wait here. I personally had just gotten back from Nigeria on a few days before the meeting that we had on November 5th, and I decided to go over just to check it out. First of all, it was really strange being in a movie theater at 10 o'clock on a Sunday morning. What was stranger was to see people standing in the lobby waiting to go to a movie. And not only waiting to go to a movie, but then when you went on the other side of the movie theater, you saw all of our people. So I do apologize for this. I'm even trying to get off of my wireless, and it won't shut down, so I could get back on and see if that would help matters at all. So there we go. So just bear with me. Turn it back on. The joys, you know, in the 6 years I've been doing this, I've probably had a half a dozen times that my computer did not cooperate. And I've been sitting here staring at it, and it was fine until 2 minutes to go. And then it decided to not cooperate with me. So we'll give it another minute here, see if we can't get it back on. If not, we will reschedule again for tomorrow. So I know, Pastor Sheldon, you're out there. Bear with me. And we will see what we can do here. I have no idea what happened, if it was the wireless or my computer or both. But the internet still is not coming back up. There we go. So now let's see what we can do here. And so if you were at the meeting on November the 5th, thank you for coming out. It was a really special day, which we want to get a report from Pastor Sheldon on. So, okay, there we go. I've got that back. All right, let me see if I can play the, and it doesn't even matter because Pastor Sheldon, I don't see him on the on the call screen. So let me play the opening and see if maybe it's just the screen isn't reporting his presence, and we will go from there. So okay, this is not a very good day. No, it's showing, my screen is showing 2 minutes until, yep, Sheldon is texting me I'm here, and I am not. Let me write him. Just went. Okay, technical difficulties. He says he can hear me, but I can't see you to bring you on. The screen is not registering your presence. Now it is. All right, let's try it again. Thanks, folks. We're a couple minutes into this. Thanks for bearing with me. Let's play the opening. We'll bring Pastor Sheldon on. Well, it's just not cooperating.
This is the ACAC Radio Network, and welcome to Ministry Beat, a show designed to highlight the latest happenings at Allegheny Center Alliance Church, a vibrant urban congregation located in the heart of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. This program will focus on the latest emphasis at ACAC known as Expanded Influence, especially the three C's of communication, campus expansion, and church planting. And now, here is your host, John Stanko.
Well, you've been hearing from me since for the last 5 minutes as we try to get online. It looks like we have our difficulty solved, but I'm not going to assume anything till we bring Pastor Sheldon on. So let's go ahead and try and bring him on. The screen is trying. It is trying. There he is. Pastor Sheldon, welcome to Ministry Beat, and I apologize for the problems.
Oh, no worries. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah. Let's get right into it. Give us your assessment, your report on what you saw, what you experienced on that first Sunday, November 5th, when we met over at Lowe's Theater in Homestead.
Certainly. So, I mean, to think that we were going to pull that off to have a service, our goal was to try to ascertain, could we have a very spiritually enriched service in Lowe's Theater. One would say, anytime the presence of God is there, that you can have a blessed service. But that then puts the onus to make sure you have the presence of God in that venue. So we didn't want to just assume. We wanted to see if we pull off and have all the coordinated efforts of doing the service. Can people feel like they've been in the presence of God? Will they feel blessed that they a good worshipful experience at that location? Well, we would not have been able to determine whether that was success or not until you make the opportunity to do so. We did that on November the 5th. We didn't presume it was going to be an automatic success, but certainly after the service, from everything we've experienced personally and all the talk and the feedback afterwards, people were blessed to be in that venue. They forgot that they were in the movie theater, Will, and were really enriched by the service that we conducted on that particular day. So that's what we have deemed success, is that can we actually have a beneficial service where people could come and sense the presence of God? That's a yes, and we can say that after the fact now. So that's where we're at, Dr. John, is that that's one service. We don't, we're not looking at that, that all services will follow what we saw on that day. We are hopeful, and we just have some great takeaways to try to bring forth the similar experience as we move forward if we should choose to weekly gather or have weekly gathering at Lowe's Theater moving forward.
How was it working with the theater? I mean, they have early morning movies, and it was strange walking into the smell of popcorn and seeing people going to the right side for movies. And I heard some guys grumbling, oh, it looks like there's a church on the other side. And what was it like working with the theater? Were they cooperative? Was it tough for setup? I mean, explain to the people what went on in just trying to make that happen in a secular setting like a movie theater.
Certainly. So it definitely was manpower intensive, took a good core of volunteers to help pull that off because we had some things to overcome. Some of the seating, although, it is seating that is stair-stepped so that people can see normally in the theater, but to do a church service, there's certain seating when you're seated, you can see the screen, but you wouldn't be able to see the floor. So we had to bring in some staging and, lighting was an issue in that venue. Dolby Digital, they have great sound, but is that going to be adequate sound for any speaking or singing versus just projecting a movie? And also, lighting inside the venue as well. Most of the time when people go to view a movie, it's very dim, low light, but we got to have some lighting. So all those were challenges. Worked very well with the management, both local management and corporate, because AMC Lowe's Theater corporate office is not in Pittsburgh, so we had to go through who's the decision makers to get the approval, to set the contracted rate, to get the expectations, get all that stuff, and then have to communicate that back on a local level. They were outstanding, both from the corporate and the local managers that were there. They did everything. They were very accommodating to make sure that we had all of our needs met. We had to identify space for our children. Our children participated with the majority of the service. When it came time for the sermon, we excused the kids so they can get a very child or age-appropriate lesson during that time instead of them just sitting there listening to Pastor Rock's message. And so that worked very well with the additional space that we needed. To your point, one of the things that we were concerned about is certain weeks you have some movies that appeal to people more than other weeks. It just so happened the week that we were intending to do our preview service, our pre-launch service, there was a blockbuster movie coming out that weekend, and they forewarned us that we could have some movie times that would bump close to our starting time and we were hoping that that was not going to happen just because of the confusion factor. Well, it happened anyway. So we had a movie starting very close to the start of our time. But I will say, to what you said, we had various people walking through. You know, again, it was a burden for me smelling the good butter popcorn and the slushies and the snow caps and the jujubes. And, you know, we got to get ready. We're going to take communion a little bit later on at service with a little cracker, wafer, and juice. But you got all these contestants you got to walk past. So that you have to contend with the traffic of the movie theater. But to our surprise, really, we know that there were several people who weren't part of our church that had meandered into the space at the top. And we know that based off of various people, whether they were ushers or greeters or myself, didn't readily recognize those individuals. But we have a large church, so maybe could have been, you know, maybe I just never saw them before. But when I went to ask them, would you like a seat? There were two individuals at the very top. Can I find you a seat? Just their reaction to me let me know that they weren't intending to come to church. You know, the way that they refused the seat, like shaking their head vehemently, like, no, you know. I'm like, oh, please, by all means, you're invited to stand right here is what I told them. And, you know, after a little while, they walked back out. But, you know, they had a chance to get eyes in when they weren't even attending. I think that was traffic from the theater. And they wanted to see what it was about. We had signage, saw all these people. We checked the sound. It didn't bleed out a lot. But, I mean, there was a reason to be attracted to that theater. There was something different about that. And we hope moving forward, if that's our opportunity to be a Lowe's theater, that we distinctly be different so that it is attractive for people. And that's going to be an important piece on drawing people to that venue as we start moving out into the neighborhood.
What will go into the decision of where we will ultimately and finally meet and locate?
Sure. So one of the things we have to think through is that works for weekly worship service. The price that we've negotiated is well within the acceptability of budget. But that only gives us one service a week. We still got to find ministry space to do our other ministries. So by using Lowe's Theater, we still have the challenge of finding additional space. And what's going to go into the decision is there's one of three options we have right now that are available. It could be purchase a building, be co-located at a place, at a church that's going to let us use shared space, or Lowe's Theater. Those are one of the three options. We need to take back pros and cons of each one of those, the hood of moving towards one versus the other, prioritize them and make a decision. I hope to do that by the end of the month, that we'll know what venue we're going to use for worship service. And so that'll require us to make another decision. So if it's Lowe's Theater, we have to be out there and identify some additional ministry space. If it's one of those other venues, that won't be so much the issue because it has ministry space along with sanctuary or a place to do sanctuary. So we're moving quickly towards that. And I think in our some meetings I had with you, you're commenting that because you were there that day, you said we need to, you know, capitalize on the momentum that we have. The people were excited. We shouldn't get too far away from. And I heard those words because it's going to be very important to find and identify the team that's going to be planting, get them energized, the mission of Homestead, which is reaching the lost, being connected in community, demonstrating diversity, cross-cultural ministry, and just have an opportunity to effectively look at ways we minister together, not for or to the people of Homestead, but with the people of Homestead, and getting people to vibe and to understand what the mission is for us. Well, that's going to take a corralling of people, energizing them, and getting out to be about what God is calling us to do at Homestead. We have to find our place, know that we're going to be there every week, get our budget and everything set to that so we can get to those other objectives, which is being community in the area of Homestead.
Yeah. What I know we can't hold you to this, but what's your gut feeling and sense of a timeline? What can we look for over the next couple of months, say, between now and the end of the year and into January, where the church plant is concerned?
Well, I'm hoping to continue to spark interest, be the catalyst for our own people, Teen Element, who's going to plant with us. So that's to the end of the year, find out, identify those things. Beginning the first part of the year is getting out there, start evangelizing, marketing, and communicating more aggressively about where we're going to be. Previous to this, we've been in making connection in community, just demonstrating and telling people our desire to come and minister. Now we put a stake in the ground. Now it's about this is where we'll be located. We can start drawing people and to readily identify where we're going to be. That'll go through the first part of the winter. And then we're going to move towards a date. So for a launch date that we're going to place out before the people, hopefully it'll be sometime latter part of March is our full launch date. Could be a little sooner. But previous to that, we'll be out there doing some additional services. That was a pre-launch service we did on the 5th. Now we'll do some preview services leading to our launch date. And that just kind of energizes, show momentum in community. And that's after we've already found and identified our core group of planters who will be planting with us and strategically allowing them to go out to start making connections in community that start drawing people to not only the church service, but also just to the connection of Fellowship 412, the ACAC church plant. So we got movement here, and we need to, capitalize on the movement and the energy that we have, but setting these tentative markers so we have something to move to. If God desires that they happen sooner than what we project, then we're willing to move as quickly as he's ready to dispatch us. So very exciting times.
Yeah. Can you be more specific? I mean, if somebody's listening and is saying, I really want to be a part of, what are you going to be looking for? What are you asking people to do? And you've mentioned launch team, you've mentioned outreach. Can you be any more specific about what you would be requiring of someone who is ultimately a part of the church plant team?
Yep. So I'm looking for some people with some evangelistic giftings or calling, because we want to be intentional about reaching the lost, or those who are disconnected, one or the other, to be anything more than they have a burden to share the good news of Jesus. That's the basic requirement. They just have a passion for that, because that's going to be an important piece. But we're also going to be developing teams to address some of the needs of students and children. And they're going to be after-school programming, tutoring program. What are we going to do for the kids of all ages? Because, we have benefited at our mother church, at Allegheny Center Lines Church, great children's programming that have been a blessing to many people. And so we want to take those strengths and transplant them where they're applicable and develop teams to be able to not only work and volunteer with that, but to embrace that as their mission. We're also looking at family enrichment as a big proponent of Fellowship 412, the family unit and health and the wellness of the family, as whether it's married couples or them and their children. So we're really going to look at people to be kind of the mentoring type. We got some family enrichment type activities we're going to do. But also just looking for individuals who are willing, open, and available as we look at additional needs in the community to bring about these elements of fellowship that can be around particular targets in the community. But we'll need to identify those as we get a better sense of what the community needs are. So those are the basic things we want to start out with: children, marriage enrichment, family, and definitely evangelism, as we're pulling and to communicate who Christ is and connecting people. So those individuals who have a sense of that, we're taking the opportunity to just say, hey, maybe you don't even have maybe not even know for sure if you're wanting to plant. Just if you want to pursue the prospect, this is the time to act. Don't just cast it away. This is the time to pursue it, and maybe the Lord will inspire you as you move towards that object.
Yeah, and it's important just for people to be present during the services. I mean, we don't want to launch and have six people there. Actually, when I interviewed Marv Nelson and talked about Aletheia, I thought some people had left the church because I never see them anymore. Here, they're a part of Aletheia. But being a part of Aletheia doesn't mean they come to the north side and then they run out to Aletheia. They see Aletheia, the campus church, as their church. It's their mission field.
Absolutely.
It's their ministry. And so he gave me about a dozen people that he ran off. And I said, "Woo! I thought so-and-so left. I hadn't seen that couple. Here they were out at Aletheia." people should not underestimate the importance of their presence, of being there to be a support. Because if somebody visiting walks in again and sees seven people, they say, how viable is this? But if they walk in and say 50 or 60 people, there is an aspect of credibility when they see that. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. We have to launch well. And launching well demonstrates that we have strength of community. We're attracting people in. So that's, we have the benefit of doing that because we're in a fairly large, you know, congregation. But people have to feel that as a sense of mission, if you will, that they're committing to the area of Homestead, whether it's through their participation, making that their weekly worship service, or if they're intending to work and volunteer on behalf of the ministry. Both are important because that's going to be the piece with desire to come to the church plant. They have to have a sense that there is a community, thriving community. Because there's probably plenty of expression throughout that area of churches that are in decline. And so we've got to demonstrate the strength of people coming together and viability of those communities versus one of decline. So numbers, you don't want to base ministry just based off of numbers, but you do have to have a healthy representation so that people can feel, hey, there's something interesting or there's something important that's here that I need.
You mentioned Fellowship 412. Talk to us about the name of the church, how this came about, what it stands for.
Sure. So Fellowship 412, one is, we talk about community. That's one word. But fellowship, we want to create these vibrant elements of people who denominational, multi-ethnic, multi-generational, just healthy vibrance of people coming together and creating that, what we call fellowship. 412 is actually Acts 4:12, and that foundational scripture of there's no other name under heaven by which men can be saved except the name of Jesus. And so that's foundationally that it sets itself up well that for everything we intend to do in Homestead area, that it's going to be based off of proclaiming the goodness of Jesus Christ and what that name represents. Plus somebody evangelistically can take that foundational scripture and pretty much walk through salvation with that. And so it has a purpose in describing who we are, but it is rooted, deeply rooted on Acts 4:12. But, commonly I see this with the younger generation. They quickly see the association to 412 being the area code, blessing of using that as well, that attracts people. So but the real intent was Acts 4:12. The secondary benefit is, the 412 gives us recognition to the area because that's one of the area codes of the Pittsburgh area.
Well, I have to be honest. I didn't catch that. I caught I knew the Acts 4:12 part. I never thought about the area code. That is very cool. Then we can plant a church. We have to find like Mark 7:24, and we can have that exchange, that area code covered as well. Sheldon, we've got 2 minutes, and again, I apologize for the technical problems in the front end. But real quickly, what have you discovered about Homestead as we go forward? I know you've been praying. Yeah. I mean, you've been talking to people. What are just some of the basic needs that you've identified as we move forward?
Sure. So, Homestead has gone through small towns around the Pittsburgh area after the demise and the collapse of the steel mills. There are plenty of communities still trying to figure out how to, to reinvent itself. And then you had that surge of the waterfront that seemed like that was going to be very beneficial to the Homestead area. It's a place of recreation, for shopping, and for eating. It's just it has a lot of things to offer, but yet it sets itself community of Homestead in that general area. And I know the people shop down there. I know they go down there to utilize what they have down at the waterfront. I'm one of. That's where I shop. That's where I work out. That's where, I get my entertainment at times. But anyway, that decline of steel mill and what that impact was, and you had people who are still struggling based off of that family units that are still there and some people moving out for other jobs and the decline and the sense of community and housing and, the things that impact an area when jobs quickly drop. Well, demographically, it sets itself well to to be able to generational diversity that exists there. There's young and old, but there's Caucasian, African American, there's some Hispanic, you know, small groupies. There's people with ethnic and cultural markers as well. I mean, you have Polish and Slovak, and all that is to be celebrated as the community of Homestead. And people can come together, and how do you draw them to be a better sense of community? And so those are the attractive aspects. If there is an opportunity to reach and to find the felt needs of community, especially where there's disconnect, we can see that the surge of development continues to press towards the Homestead area. Well, that's going to be a big problem for residents in the future, as, you know, some people might end up getting pushed out or moved out as the continued surge of redevelopment continues over the years. But we're starting right now at the beginning stages of that. We're seeing that 8th Avenue is a major corridor through Homestead. It's transforming. It's being transformed just like Lawrenceville did back in the day. It's really quickly transforming. And when that happens, it's going to spread up the hill. And so how are those people, the impact to the people, and we could be positioned to be a good bridging, but also a good way of ministering and communicating and helping and walking alongside people as these things, as their community begins to shift and change. How do we create a good synergy between people to embrace community as well? So that exists in Homestead, and that's what gives the best opportunity for us to be fellowship for one, two, and to bring what we have learned, the DNA of Allegheny Centerline first, to be transplanted in an area that provides some of the best opportunities to see and experience. It's not automatic. We hope to see the same level of blessing we were able to see on the north side in another place where we've transplanted.
Very good. All righty, sir. Well, thank you for your time. Thanks for the update. We'll have you back hearing more by Fellowship 412 as plans become clear. Of course, we'll be announcing this weekend some financial initiatives to make sure we have the financial resources for the end of the year and for the church planting communications as we lead up to our construction announcements that should be imminent. So thanks again for what you do, and God bless you, and we'll have you back on soon.
God bless. Thanks for having me again.
All righty. Take care. So long. Well, there you have Pastor Sheldon. Again, I apologize for the problems we had at the beginning of the show, but I can't really edit those out, but I will warn everybody to just fast forward 5 minutes, and they won't have to listen to me talk before Pastor Sheldon comes on. So this is John Stanker, your host for Ministry Beat. We'll be back again tomorrow and the next day with some updates from ACAC, so you stay tuned. There's more coming in the days to come. So long for now.
Thanks again for listening to this edition of Ministry Beat with your host, John Stanko. Join us again soon on the ACAC Internet Radio for more insight into and information about the Expanded Influence Initiative at Allegheny Center Alliance Church. You can also access this show by going online to www.acacreach.com. If you have any questions concerning Expanded Influence or with ideas for future shows, you can write John at john.stanko@acac.net, john.stanko. Thank you, and tell your friends about Ministry Beat.